CivicX right across the West Coast. Simon Boda has been a crime reporter here in Australia for over 35 years, working for the Seven Network, covering some of Australia's worst crimes. He joins me this morning to have a chat about a book that he's launched called Deadline. Simon, good morning.
G'day, Andy. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Simon. Now, 35 years as a crime reporter. No doubt you've absorbed quite a lot.
Indeed. I guess it's a litany of trauma, if you like, and grief that goes back 35 years from those early days as when I started out at News Limited as a copy boy and my desire to be a crime or slash police reporter. I followed in the footsteps of two great crime reporters, Bill Jenkins and Seth Culbert. Both were mentors of mine, and they taught me some values in life, if you like, that held me in good stead. And that, you know, to be a crime reporter, you have to be trustworthy, you have to be honest, and you have to have integrity. And they taught me those three values, and I think that's that, as I said, it's held me in good stead over the years.
What is it, Simon, about your career so far that you've enjoyed the most?
What I do love, I guess, is the way it's enabled me to touch people's lives. When I've covered various different crimes and I've got to know the families of the victims of those crimes, that has lifted me, and I hope it's lifted them, in that I do a lot of volunteer work with the Homicide Victim Support Group.
Okay.
It is what the name suggests. So I've been able to meet these families, often at their worst time, but then maintain contact with them. For instance, Ebony Simpson, a little 9-year-old girl who got off a school bus at Bargo in New South Wales and then was abducted, raped, and then tied up and thrown alive into a dam where she drowned.
Whiz.
Now, I'm still in contact with her father, Peter Simpson. He actually helps set up the Homicide Victim Support Group. I was in close contact with Anita Cobby's parents up until the time they passed. And Anita Cobby, as you remember, was the nurse, Sydney nurse, who was abducted off a city street in 1986 by five animals who then brutalised her and murdered her and cut her throat in a paddock.
It was quite interesting how they caught those men with the bugging device.
Well, the way they caught them was they had some initial information about a stolen car. The police were able to track that. They realised there was some certain men in the area who were attached to that. From that, they were able to lock them up. Then a woman came forward who was close to one of those men, and she then volunteered to wear a listening device into a cell where one of the men was at, John Travers.
Mm-hmm.
She became known as Miss X, and her evidence was crucial. I was lucky enough to be the only journalist to interview Miss X after the trial had been completed. And she was a remarkably strong woman, considering that she knew these men, or knew at least one of them, and yet she still put her hands up. And I think that reflected the community's anger at that particular crime. The murder of Anita Cobby changed the way Australia treats crime, because it was just so senseless. He was this Sydney nurse.
Mm.
She cared for others. She dragged off a street. People really fell for it. I don't know if you remember, but the scenes when the police were arresting those five men, there were lynch mobs outside Blacktown Police Station. You know, people wanted to hang these men because of what they had done. And unfortunately, I think it did change Australia's criminal society and criminal feel from that point on.
Yeah, and painfully hard for the families day after day, I guess, Simon, just wanting to know the truth and seek some form of closure.
Well, yeah, closure is not a word I like to use, but it's more about completeness, I think. People want to know what's happened to their loved ones. They want to know who's responsible. I mean, to this day, there's still cases out there that there's unanswered questions. You know, Renee Aitken was a little 5-year-old girl who was asleep in a bedroom at Baruma on the south coast of New South Wales. In the middle of the night, she disappeared. Someone crept into her bedroom and abducted her. Now, the police had strong suspicions about who did it, but they could never find her body. So her family, to this day, don't know what really happened to her. And in fact, the man who police suspected perpetrated that crime, he ended up dying by crashing his car into a tree. So, well, then you've got the other families of Kerry Whelan and Dorothy Davis, and that's more recent times, because what you remember with that is Bruce Burrell. He was accused and convicted of those two murders. The bodies were never found, and only a matter of weeks ago he died of liver cancer, taking that secret to his grave. So for the families of those two victims, they'll never know what's happened unless there's some clue that drops down the track. But he took that secret to the grave with him.
Mm. Your book, Deadline, Simon, you mentioned the Anita Cobby case. It also touches on the granny killer and the backpacker murders.
Indeed. And their crimes, I mean, the granny killer John Glover's Reign of Terror in Sydney, where he was just murdering elderly ladies in Sydney's Lower North Shore over a period of time. That's never going to be forgotten by Sydney as a society, if possibly in Australia. And then you've got the backpacker murders, Ivor Milat. I mean, there's still question marks that he may well have murdered other people that we don't know about to this day. There's women who are missing up on north coast of New South Wales, where we know Ivor Milat was working at the time, but again, the bodies haven't been found, and so therefore the proof's never been able to be established, and there's still question marks over there. They are cases, I guess, that define Australia's criminal history.
Just frustrating too, isn't it? I mean, if the police were to go and question the likes of Ivor Milat and he refuses to talk, well, really it's left up to be based on evidence that they collect.
Absolutely, and that evidence would have to be, if another body was found and there was some DNA or some evidence that pointed towards Milat, then the police would move forward. And I can assure you the police are active on all those cases. They're cold cases, but they're still active. And with the case of Kerry Whelan and Dorothy Davis, if a clue was to come, just a skerrick of a clue as to where they might be, police would swarm that because they want to give those answers to the families of the victims. That's one of the keys to this. Even though Bruce Bowell's dead, to be able to give answers to Kerry Whelan's and Dorothy Davis's family about what happened to them would give that family some sort of completeness, I think.
Absolutely. Now, Deadline, Simon, that's the name of the book you brought out. That's available now in bookstores, is that correct?
Indeed it is. It's out there. It's got a photo of me presenting or doing a report for the television news, so it won't be hard to find, but it's there. And I guess in many ways, you know, it takes the reader right back to my very earliest days and brings them up to date as to where I sit in the world of covering crime. And there are many other very good crime journalists in this country, and what this does is just my account of the things that have impacted me and touched me.
Certainly sounds like an engaging read. We'll look out for the book. Simon, thank you for your time this morning.
That's a pleasure, Andy.